Sure. I am Deborah Holland, a singer-songwriter, performer, composer, professor of music here in Los Angeles. I teach at Cal State Los Angeles, and the class I teach is called American Music in Popular Culture.
Okay, does this mean that you don't do a chapter on Sgt. Pepper?
I don't do a whole chapter, but I do a good half a lecture on it. Okay. The class is about an hour and a half, and, oh, I spend at least a half hour talking about it.
So, well, what is that like then when you introduce that to a room full of young people?
Well, it's really interesting. By time we get to talk about Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, they already know a little bit about the Beatles. I mean, some of them, you know, as you and probably most of your listeners know, the Beatles, every generation, a large part of the generation gets rediscovers the Beatles, and there are, you know, there are kids that come into my class, they're say 18 through early 20s, who know just as much about the Beatles as people who lived through that time. So some of them are very knowledgeable, and others, it's just a vague name that they've heard. So some of them know absolutely nothing. So it kind of depends upon the individual class and what the makeup of the class is. But typically, I would say the majority of them are blown away.
Okay, so do you assign it to them to listen?
No, I can't do that because I can't make them go buy the CD. And, you know, they all download for free, and I'm against that. So I play it in class. I don't play the entire thing, but what I do is I play the beginning and part of each track, and a couple of them, like The Benefit of Mr. Kite and A Day in the Life, the opening, Sgt. Pepper's. I mean, some of the tracks I play all the way through, and the rest I play the beginnings and part of, because one of the things they are experiencing for the very first time is the concept of, well, not just a concept album, but song sequencing. You know, that's kind of a novel thing to them, particularly when you have side one and side two. So we talk about that a lot, and they love that. They get that right away. They get that,
well,
the songs.
Let's expand on that a little bit. Get
sure.
Tell me what the takeaway message is. What are you trying to get across to them?
Well, they know that it's a groundbreaking record, and the way that they know it is for lots of reasons. One, I tell them a lot of the things. It's, you know, it was the first album that printed the lyrics. That's a major thing right there. Of course, we talk about the cover and the fact that it transformed an album cover into artwork. They get that the Beatles already had many, many styles and sub-styles of music that they covered, but they really get it on this record because we're listening to all the tracks. So, you know, you go from Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band to With a Little Help from My Friends. I mean, they get right away what the difference is. Where they really get it is, you know, the tracks one and two from side two, going from Within You Without You to When I'm 64. That always, they get that right away, how significant a change that is and how that was really never done before to really drastically change styles.
And is it surprising to your students because of a certain reason? Has that been missing in music for some time, do you think?
Yeah, the music that they listen to, mostly every song is very, very similar stylistically. There aren't many artists who do this kind of thing, who other than myself, of course. There aren't too many people who will experiment with different styles. So yeah, they do understand that, and they do get that it's significant. They always laugh when it goes to When I'm 64. That always gets a laugh, and I don't think it's because of the song. I think it's because of the change in texture and style, and they're not musicians, so they get it on a listening level.
Mm-hmm. You say that you point out that this is the first time that the lyrics were printed, and I don't know if you say much more than that, but I'm asking you to think about it a little bit and say, you know, why was that such a big deal?
Because the
how did that change how people experience music, and did the rest of the music world follow suit quickly?
Well, you know, this is a generation that they don't look at the lyrics. They don't have the physical booklet. You know, this is the downloading generation. They don't get that tactile.
Okay, let me ask you back up and say, like, the current generation or something.
The current generation. You know, I teach their, you know, 18 to mid 20s. They are not they're not kids who enjoy get that sensation of joy of holding the artwork or the booklet or the lyrics or the who played on what track and who produced it and who mixed it. That's something that is just not part of their listening experience like it was for anyone else who's older, you know, pre-digital. And so I think they understand that looking at the lyrics and reading the lyrics while you're taking in the music is a different experience than just listening. I mean, most people, you know, when they listen to music, they're not really even, especially these kids, they're not paying attention to the lyrics most of the time. So they understand, I think they get it, that actually seeing the words written down make a difference to your experience and to your understanding of what the song is.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, although I'm trying to a couple times here. But
go ahead.
It sounds to me like you try to communicate. One of the takeaway messages about the impact of Pepper begins with trying to help your students understand the sort of tactile interface that was more typical back in the day. And I'm mm-hmm. wondering if that's true, and if you could sort of, you know, create a statement about that, if that's something that you, it sounds like that's something you try to communicate to them.
Yeah, I mean, I do, not just on this record, but music in general. I try and stress the importance of, I tell 30-year-olds the same thing who say, oh, I don't need the lyrics, and I don't need the credits, and I don't need the artwork, and I don't need all that stuff. Boy, you know, I don't know how you communicate that to a generation that doesn't experience it. I mean, even my son, who's 12, he'll love a certain song, and I'll say, well, let's go buy the record. I don't need to buy the record. I'll just download a couple of the songs. I mean, I don't know that they get the appreciation for the whole record and, you know, the song sequencing and what goes into that. I mean, I agonize over the order that my songs go, and as, you know, every other artist I know does. So, you know, I don't know exactly how. I wish I could. I wish I could mm-hmm. convince them all the importance of it. They're so turned off, though, to buying albums where every song isn't great. You know, I guess if more records were Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, maybe they would start buying albums more. Maybe they would be more intrigued to the whole concept, you know, the concept of a concept album. And we do talk about that a little bit, the whole idea of, they love the experimentation of it as well. They get that it's unusual to have sound effects and, you know, audiences clapping, and they understand.
I hate to keep doing this to you, but
sure.
Because I'm going to be spreading this out over 2 hours, and every time you say they, it's going to be more helpful if you say my students.
Yeah, okay.
Or the
no
students
problem.
I teach. Yeah.
Yeah, the students that I teach, my classes get the psychedelic references, and they get that it was unusual to include sound effects and backwards effects and they understand that this, I think they understand it because I tell them, and it's, you know, they have to pass a test, so they've got to at least read the material and get it. I think they do get the impact of this record. I think when I teach Sergeant Peppers, by the time we get to this, we've already talked about Like a Rolling Stone, Bob Dylan, and they already understand that was a significant... Is Like a Rolling Stone right before Sgt. Pepper's, or is it after? Now it's before.
Right around the same time,
yeah.
Just before Revolver, actually.
So basically what we talk about is that Like a Rolling Stone broke all the rules of what a single could do, and Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band broke all the rules of what a record did. Mm-hmm. And they seem to get it.
Yeah. So to the extent that you do slow things down a little bit and point out some things about the album, some particular songs, and try not to start listing them, but if you take a track at a time and let me know what you find intriguing that you pass along to the students. You know,
sure.
You don't necessarily have to put it in that context. But
sure. Yeah. Well, let's see. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. We always listen to that. And I always talk about how the song is actually inviting the listener to participate. You know, we hope you will enjoy the show. You know, they're welcoming the listener into the rest of the project, into the rest of the music. And they love that. They that's something that's, they find very appealing. Particular songs, I play the whole track of Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite, and I think the circus atmosphere and the circus effects and the wackiness of that, and they always point out how it doesn't sound dated to them either. It sounds very fresh. So we always play that all the way through, and they love that. Then I spend a lot of time talking about Within You, Without You. The fact that here's a band that's called a rock band, but here's a track with no guitars, no electric bass, no drums. You know, we've got sitars, tablas, Indian instruments, very sophisticated rhythms, very philosophical lyrics. You know, not I love you, baby, I love you, baby. I mean... really 180 degrees from a AM or even FM radio-friendly pop song of the time. And then followed by a English dance hall tune, When I'm 64. I mean, that's such a drastic change and such a contrast that's very appealing. A Day in the Life, we listen to all the way through and we discuss... they've already heard Eleanor Rigby, and we've already talked about Eleanor Rigby, which to me, A Day in the Life, is, you know, kind of in the same world. It's a pretty dark song, and they can appreciate that as well. So we always listen to that all the way through. Those just are kind of the highlights.
Yeah. Just as a musician, taking it out of the classroom, what turns you on about this record?
Well, kind of all those same things in a way. The variety from track to track, the production is jaw dropping even for today. What they and George Martin were doing was so far ahead of what everyone else was doing. I know that it was influenced a lot by Pet Sounds, but it definitely kind of took Pet Sounds one step or even more than one step further.
Talking about production, you're talking about just the how it sounds.
How it sounds. Yeah, and mm-hmm. You know, this is ancient technology compared to what we did. If I could time travel, I'd love to go back and actually watch them making this record, because I haven't a clue how it was all done, technologically speaking. And you know, every single song is great. There's no bad songs. It's all enjoyable. The vocals are amazing. everything about it is terrific. And I teach this class. I teach this history of popular music class. That's essentially what it is, three times a year. And I've been doing that for 9 years. So three times a year, I pull out this, I wish it was a record, but I pull out the CD. I really regret not having the album anymore because I hate showing them the artwork on a CD. That's the one thing that's very disappointing, to see those tiny little faces instead of the bigger ones. But I never get tired of it. It's always fresh, even to me. And I always end up hearing things that I never heard before. You know, a little bass line that I never heard before, or a guitar plarp that never struck me, or a vocal harmony, or an effect. So I'm always hearing things new as well. How many years later, and how many times a year do I spend on this, and yet it's still fresh, even for me. This is like my favorite class. I love when it's time to do this.